Hello everyone, welcome back to the Nerd Now 2 podcast. We're on episode 14. Don't call him Master Strange, don't call him Mr. Strange, it's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, back for Doctor Strange.
Right, right, this is usually when I jump into, I'm back with my wife Jade and my brother Matt, and this is what we do. I will do all that. Well, I am here with my wife, Jade, and my brother, Matt. That's not different. You guys are here. You're all right, yeah?
Yeah,
we're good.
Yeah, we're all good.
Illness watch, let's get that out of the way. We're good?
I'm actually fine, yeah.
We're all good?
Yeah, right. All good.
Okay, let's just crack on with it. I'm not on about cracking on with Doctor Strange. How good was that Infinity War trailer?
Oh, so good.
But again, in like 2 years' time when people are listening back to this podcast, they're going to be like, what fucking trailer?
If you're listening to this back and you've already seen Infinity War, skip this bit. Skip about a minute while we just get overly excited over a trailer that you no longer care about. But no, for anyone listening in real time, you'll know how exciting that trailer was. And I don't know about you guys, but I am so, so hyped for this movie. Like, I don't think I've ever been this hyped for a movie before.
Yeah, I don't know how to express it, but I'm just so excited now.
Yeah, like I said, we're, you know, 5 or 6 weeks away, or what, 5.5 weeks now, and I cannot wait. I can't piece words together, like I cannot string a sentence together these days, because like I'll just be in everyday life having everyday conversations, and my head's just going Infinity War, Infinity War, Infinity War, Infinity War. Thanos is coming in Infinity War, Infinity War. Who's going to die? Could it be Cap? Could it be Tony? Infinity War, Infinity War, Infinity War. I think I may have problems.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's been 10 years in the making, so.
Exactly. Anyway, we're not here to talk about how excited we are for the Infinity War trailer, or how excited we are for Infinity War the movie. We're here to talk about how good is Jessica Jones season 2? No? Not here to talk about that either? Okay.
No, I'm only on the first episode.
Okay, then. I've finished it. No spoilers. Just gets really good at the end. Really good. Those last 3 episodes are spectacular. Very good. But anyway, not here to talk about Infinity War, not here to talk about Jessica Jones, we are here to talk about Doctor Strange. So, as you've all gathered by now, we're going about watching all the MCU movies on the lead up to Avengers Infinity War, and we are very nearly caught up. We are very, very nearly caught up. We tend to sort of say, oh, going back to 2008, oh, going back to 2010, oh, go. So, you know, the next one we do is only last year. So we have caught right up. Of course, Doctor Strange 2016. So that's pretty much nearly up to date anyway. Like I said, what we're doing is we go back, review these retrospectively, compared to what's come since. But like I said, not much has come since this. So we're pretty much just reviewing sort of more up-to-date movies now. But, we're still then ranking them and rating them out of 10 like we have with all the others, and then like I said, ranking them all in order. So we will find out where Doctor Strange finishes, but before we find out where Doctor Strange lands in all our lists, let's talk about what we thought of it the first time we saw it. So like I say, we're only rewinding like a year and a half ago. So Matt, we'll start with you. What did you think of Doctor Strange the first time you saw it in the cinema?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it's a new take on like what they do, certainly with the visual effects and all the magic. That was all fun, but it's still a very sort of repetitive origin story that they told. But again, it's a Marvel film. I enjoyed it. It's funny at times. I probably would have given it probably an 8 out of 10 first time I saw it.
Okay, right. Usually the order we go in is I'll then get Jade to do her score, but I'm just going to quickly do mine because of how annoyed I am that for about, I don't know, 5 weeks running now, my first time I saw it score has been exactly the same as yours, Matt. And it is, again, mine was an 8 out of 10 the first time I saw it. It's really annoying I should start going first. I was the same 8 out of 10. Sort of similar. I was really impressed. Not surprised by how impressive it was visually, because the trailers was just full of all of that. But still, watching it on the big screen was really impressive, and I really enjoyed it. You're right with what you say about it just being a very typical origin story, and I've got my problems with that that we'll get to. Also got my problems with a very typical Marvel Cinematic Universe problem. I've got a problem with the villain.
The V word.
The V word, yes. Yeah. But we'll get to that as well. But overall, I did enjoy this. It also, I think, suffered from the same thing that like Iron Man 3 suffered from, and that Ant-Man suffered from, is it's following on a big ensemble movie, even though technically it was a Captain America movie, but still, Civil War. Big one to follow on from, and that's still in the back of your mind, you know. That's still the last MCU movie you've gone to see, so I think I'm pretty sure my rating in the cinema for Iron Man 3, Ant-Man, and this will be an 8 out of 10. But my thoughts have changed on this, definitely. But we'll get to that. Jade, first time you saw this in the cinema?
So I really like Benedict Cumberbatch, so I was quite excited for a film that was all about him, and I've seen obviously the trailer and thought he was quite charismatic and funny in it.
Big old cast, isn't it?
Yeah, and obviously Rachel McAdams, I really like him, they share quite a small part. And Tilda Swinton, she's pretty famous, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah,
she has some big roles.
Yeah, so I don't know where I'd put it in my, like when I first watched it, ranking-wise. Not ranking-wise, I guess you just want my score, don't you?
Yeah, just score out of 10 first time you saw it.
Probably a 7. I think that's where most... Every time I come out of a Marvel film, it's about a 7.
You gave Civil War a 7 out of 10 first time you saw it.
This was, I think, because obviously I prefer the funny ones, and this probably had a bit more humour than Civil War, because Civil War...
I think it had about the same.
I think the only humorous bits was Spider-Man's bits in Civil War, really.
I don't know.
Because Thor wasn't in there. It's like the sort of comic relief.
I'll agree with you that Civil War is definitely the less... funnier of the big massive ones.
Yeah. But, so this kind of to me was a bit of a relief in that way, because Civil War's very serious, very like you've got to concentrate on a
lot of characters as well, obviously.
Whereas this one's obviously just like you're tripping, like the whole film. So I was just sitting back like, okay.
It's like, I like this movie, it's like I'm on drugs. Don't do drugs, kid.
And obviously
drugs are bad.
Yeah, I think a 7, because I wasn't blown away, but I did enjoy it the same way I've enjoyed all the other Marvel films that watched for the first time. Like
Fair enough. All right, so we all pretty much similar to each other, really. You know, we all liked it, but weren't blown away by it. All right, let's jump into Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. Matt, I want to get your thoughts first.
Yeah, I liked him. I thought he did a good job in that role. Sort of, again, it's a typical Marvel character, arrogant, Doctor Rich, who ends up becoming powerful, but...
Tony Stark!
Yeah. Tony Stark, but he's a doctor. But, yeah, again, he's enjoyable. Like, I enjoyed watching him, you know? When he's on screen, he has that presence to him. He's playing Sherlock or Doctor Strange, whatever one it is this time. But, again, like, I like Sherlock, I like him in this. He does it all well.
Whenever you're introducing a new character to the MCU universe now, you have a weight on your shoulders, an expectation, because at this point, the MCU is massive, and every character has to hit home straight away. They can't afford to have a dud at this point.
And they've never really miscast a character yet.
No.
So if they do, you're going to be the first one that gets a load of crap for it.
Exactly. Though you could maybe question Ed Norton, I think. But they swept that under the rug pretty quick.
Yeah.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. I'm going to have to stop saying his full name every time because it's just a mouthful. But yeah, I loved him in this. He was the only person I've ever... fan casted. The word? You know, yeah, because
like Ryan Reynolds was for Deadpool.
Yeah, that's but this is the only one where, because all the time it does my head in when you hear people say, "Oh, this guy should play this role, this guy should play that role," and I'm always like, "Oh yeah, good idea. Oh yeah," I can never think of things like that. But I do remember saying, when the MCU was all kicking up, "Oh, wouldn't it be cool if Benedict Cumberbatch played Doctor Strange?" You know, and to actually get one right, it's like, yeah. So yeah, needless to say, I was happy with the casting of this, and was for the most part really happy with his performance. I'll get the negative out of the way first. I do find, especially in the first half of the movie, he's quite hard to warm to, but I think that's on purpose.
He is an asshole, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a prick at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, but my issue was, like, when obviously he comes off that accident, and you're just thinking, he's there crying about his hands, like, you're still a genius, and you're still fucking loaded. Like, you can still benefit people and become, like, a huge megastar, like, win all these awards that you want to win, just using your mind.
And it's your fault you're in this situation.
Yeah.
Speeding down the road, looking at your phone. Thing is, when we talked about Iron Man way back in episode one, we talked about Tony Stark is a prick, but we love him, and you want to see him more on screen. I didn't necessarily get that with Stephen Strange.
No, he's not as lovable. Do you think that's because Tony's short?
No. I think because Tony's funny with it, whereas...
I think he's funny with it.
I do think he is, but...
He's definitely more cocky with it than Tony. Like, Tony would laugh at himself, whereas Stephen Strange is just like, ha ha, I'm the best.
Yeah, he's completely arrogant.
Yeah,
he admits he can't accept fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then even, like, because obviously... what's her name? Rachel McAdams' character in this.
Christine.
So she's even like, no, it's all about you, Stephen. Like, everything's about you. And he's like, yeah. Like, he admits it, but he doesn't joke about it.
Yeah. So, like, overall, I did really enjoy his character. And really enjoyed what, like, the journey he goes on. Because by the end of the movie, he is a proper hero. You know? Like,
yeah, he is willing to sacrifice himself at the end.
Yeah, and... I think he really takes the Ancient One's advice on board when she dies, but we'll get into that. I really grew to... I can't say I grew to love him. I never really fell in love with this character, which is a shame because, like I said, I always thought Benedict Cumberbatch is the perfect Doctor Strange. And you know what? I think he is, because I'm sitting here saying, oh... I never really fell in love with the character or never really warmed to him. But the truth is, I never warmed to the character in the comic books. So he still is portraying my vision of Doctor Strange, if you know what I mean.
And I'm not sure about you, but I've never really read a Doctor Strange comic. I've just seen him interact with other characters.
Yeah,
he's going to benefit.
Yeah, I've never read his own comic book. I've only ever read him in the big event comics and stuff like that, because he always turns up in the big event ones. And I've read like Illuminati and stuff like that he's obviously in. And he's always been a character that carries a lot of weight, like, as in not physical weight, obviously.
No, but
he's not a fatty.
Shit's going down his head.
Yeah. So, overall, I really like what they did with Doctor Strange, because he does feel like the Doctor Strange from the comics. You know? He doesn't feel like they've tried to make him funny and lovable because he's an MCU character. They've really stuck with the source material, and I think that's going to benefit, especially in the bigger movies like Infinity War and when he jumps into all the other ensemble movies. I think him being this level-headed, this slightly arrogant, and... It's just the way he is actually going to benefit.
Yeah, like, we'll go on to it in a couple of episodes' time, but like when he shows up in 4, I liked him then.
We'll get to that, but he was perfect in that role of just, I'm here, I'm protecting my city, get out, you know. Yeah. And they were funny with him then, so you can still be funny with that character, but keep him serious. So Jade, you enjoyed Benedict Cumberbatch in this role, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. He's my favourite in the film.
That's it. Do you want to expand on that at all? Or...
No, I just find him really funny.
No, he's my favourite bit of the film.
I think he's a brilliant actor. And we were looking up, weren't we? They were looking at other actors, but they delayed filming because they wanted Benedict so much. Like, they planned it around his schedule. Mm. He was filming Hamlet or something. And I think it just says everything about their thoughts on Benedict, and I agree that he was made for that role.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm sitting here saying, oh, you know, didn't really warm to him or whatever, but that's not because I don't think we were meant to, and he still plays it so well. Like, I think this is a brilliant performance. Mm. I'll tell you what, he keeps your attention. Like, yeah. I hang on every word he says
and
in this.
That's really... a big feat when you're watching a film that is literally like looking down a kaleidoscope for most of it. You're just looking at all the like glossy like rainbow colors, and like you kind of forget that you're focusing on this bloke's story. But I think he manages to keep you involved.
Keeps you engaged, doesn't he?
Yeah,
completely. I know we've said this about a million characters, but I wouldn't change him.
No.
Not in a million years. No. I've never.
And like some of the ones we were looking at, actually, there was a couple that I thought, oh yeah, he could have done it. Like Jared Leto was one, but then obviously he couldn't have been Joker in Suicide Squad.
Might have done us all a favour.
Why couldn't he have been Doctor Strange?
Yeah, he should have been like Doctor Strange's, like, I don't know, alter ego or something. So I think he just is perfect, and yeah, they knew what they were doing by waiting for him.
Yeah, and they know he's going to draw in money because he is such a big name
people
get excited just to see him in anything now.
Yeah.
And no,
I said
definitely.
He did a really good American accent, didn't I? You wouldn't even know that he was British from it.
Well, yeah, because we were talking like...
And Tom Holland.
Because he is meant to be... It's Doctor Strange's character. Stephen Strange meant to be American. He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from New York.
Yeah. But I don't know about you, Matt, but when you read the comics, I don't read Stephen Strange with an American accent.
Nah, I think he could have used his British accent and it would have worked fine.
Yeah.
But he sort
like
of does
he moved
this...
to the UK, to New York or something.
Yeah, Marvel is very New York-based. They want to keep it in that roots, I think.
Yeah, which is fair enough.
But yeah, like I said, I really enjoy the journey we go on with him, where he goes from cocky, cocky surgeon...
Asshole.
Cocky asshole surgeon, to desperate... I don't want to say cripple, because he's not. He's still fine, really. You know, it was a miracle he survived. Yet, like, ungrateful.
He's just lost, isn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what to do.
He's ungrateful.
Yeah.
You know? And then to this lost, desperate man who has always trusted in science and always trusted in what's on the paper in front of him, now is having to deal with all this spiritual magic, and it's really interesting watching that dynamic of him being in this world, you know. I think it works brilliant. The only thing I will say is I do feel I'm going to contradict myself. Like, I feel that he jumps between all those things I just said too quickly. Like almost
from, like, surgeon to not really knowing.
He's gone from
on,
like
so I'm this. Grand.
It feels master. Like, it feels like he's got his feet firmly set in reality, and he's this cocky surgeon.
And then he's really skeptical when he first meets HM1.
And then all of a sudden, he's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, like, as soon as he goes through that portal, like with the sling ring,
which
he's,
I guess,
perfect again.
Yeah, like, but then I guess that is what would happen. Like, if any of us were put in that position, and you're like shown something that ridiculous, you're like, okay, I believe you.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
I think if you were told about it, like, you'd be like, no, that's bollocks. But then she just showed him straight away. Like, she kind of touched on it.
I also
and then was
didn't
like
that.
Go.
I didn't like how she showed him straight away. Like, you don't know who this guy is.
I think you have to.
But this guy knocks on your door, and you're like, oh, by the way, here's an out-of-body experience. Like, did she do that to, like, when the mailman comes round and, like, drops a post off, you know what I mean? Like,
but at the same time, she knew all about him, didn't she?
Yeah, she knew that he was coming for that. His hands were broken,
Okay, I do think it rushes through it too quick, but this is where I contradict myself, because another point I really like about this movie is how well-paced it is. Like, this is... from beginning to credits, it's, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
And most Marvel movies now are 2 hours minimum.
Yeah.
I really liked how quick this gets done.
Yeah.
Because I do feel with a character like this, you can linger on him too long, and you can not trim the fat and have a really long, drawn-out movie where this really just thumps you with it straight away. Like, bang, bang, bang. This is how he becomes Doctor Strange. Bang, bang, bang. Now he's Doctor Strange. He's going to go fight a really shitty villain. And, hey, done. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah, where this movie, like, really shines is how they twist on the formula.
Yeah, definitely. Do you expand on that, Matt? Before we move on to the ancient...
Just with, like, the visual effects, with, like, how they're fighting, the magic, and then, obviously, the ending. Do you want to go into the ending now?
Yeah, well, we might as well. Yeah, we'll jump around a bit. That's fine.
Yeah. Just rather than having it be like feel like a big boss battle, he wins using his mind.
Yeah, I love that the end battle is in reverse.
Yeah.
That you see all the things that's already happened as he's rewinding through it. I absolutely love that. That was such a new take on the big boss battle at the end, you know. And then, of course, using the time trick to keep playing the scene over and over again.
Yeah, just going into a time loop over and over.
Yeah, you know, I thought all that was... It kept me engaged because as much as I love comic book movies, and I'm like everyone else at the end of the day, when you see a movie start to play out like this one does, like origin, become hero, fight baddie, you do tend to switch off a bit and be like, right, I've seen this a million times before. Where this all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I know you've seen this before, but wait till we do it the Doctor Strange way, you know, and then it really engages you and gets you interested. And I tell you what, watching this, because it's only the third time I've seen this movie, most of these movies we've rewatched are me rewatching it for like the
millionth
time. Yeah, you know, depend on something like Civil War, I'm watching it, I'm into double figures at this point, you know what I mean? Even the older ones, like, you know, the first Iron Man and stuff like that, I'm way into double figures just because of how long it's been out for. But out of the newer ones, this is probably the one I've seen the least. Like, even Ragnarok, I think I've seen four times now. But this was only the third time watching it. I watched it once in the cinema, because usually I see these movies twice in the cinema. Sometimes three if they're really good. But this one I only saw once in the cinema. Not because it wasn't really good. I just wasn't motivated to go back.
Yeah, I feel like you've got enough of it, because it's not like you're revisiting somebody's story and you're like fleshing out the character more. It's just like, right, this is Stephen Strange. This is why he's like he is. There's more to come. Like, yeah. I don't feel like you ever had to go back and like overanalyze what he's already done. You just want to see what he does next, which you wouldn't need to go back and see his film for.
No. But I kind of feel as well that, yeah, you just feel like it's done quick, and then, right, okay, Doctor Strange is done, now let's move on.
I also don't think it feels like a Marvel film, and I've said that, haven't I?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Marvel film to me, in kind of the same way Ant-Man didn't. I know they obviously make references to, like, Avengers and Infinity
Saints. That's interesting, because that's obviously from an outsider's point of view. Because for me, like, Doctor Strange, if I pulled out one of my comics right now and just opened up a page, you know, probably 50-50 Doctor Strange is probably on it. He's such a mainstay in these big event comics and stuff like that.
But not in the MCU.
Seeing him, like, in the outfit and stuff like that, all just feels at home as a Marvel movie straight away. You're like, okay, finally, Doctor Strange is here.
Bossy to me.
But to an outsider, it doesn't feel like an MCU movie.
It just feels like a big fancy pants, like, mythical... Kind of the way the first Thor did to me.
I suppose it's because Marvel started is really originated in science, isn't it?
Yeah, like, well, that's a good point.
They tried to base that in science, but now they're opening up this magic world.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Where they've before even gone, yes, this is a god. Yes, this is another dimension or, you know, whatever, with Asgard or wherever they've been. They have then tried to have, like you say, Matt, the scientists, try to explain it and bring it sort of into our world and almost sort of...
Make you believe it in a way.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just like, there are spirits. This is like, world.
We're just taking you on a batshit crazy journey and you're either in or you're out. We're not going to hold back or try to explain it.
Yeah.
You either...
But I think you've said this before, how important it was that Thor happened. To allow films like Doctor Strange.
Oh, everything has happened since. Like, they're Guardians.
Even Ant-Man, becoming a tiny little thing.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch.
All of that.
Where now they're at the point where they can do this, like I say, batshit crazy Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, like, even if you don't like the movie, you wouldn't go, oh, I'm done with the MCU, it's got silly.
Yeah.
You're like, of course this is what they're doing. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
You know, but luckily for me, it was. Like, come back to what I was saying a minute ago about only watching this once in the cinema. Because then if I don't watch it once in the cinema, then I watched it when the Blu-ray came out. So it's only the third time watching it, and this is a bit of a spoiler for what's to come in my review, but this is the most I've enjoyed it, watching it again.
Yeah.
I think that's because it's the way we're watching it, in order of things.
Yeah, you're like following straight on from a story, you know what's coming next, and you're quite excited.
Yeah.
It's like watching a Netflix
I think
TV
when
series,
I...
isn't it?
Yeah. It's like watching an episodic TV series completely. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think when you watch it in the cinema, you've got time to come down from Civil War, but then you want that again when you go...
You've got the hype of going into this movie, haven't you?
Yeah, but watching them as close and back-to-back as we are, I now appreciate a little bit of a dip in momentum. We're like, okay, no, now we're introducing a new character and a bit more.
I guess when they're making films like this, they know people will binge watch them all to catch up on themselves when the next one's coming out, all things like that.
So
they have to make it like that. They can't be like bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. I appreciated this a lot more the third time round. Definitely. Right, okay, we've lingered on Doctor Strange as a character for quite a while. But
which says a lot, because
he's such an important character, and he's going to play such a massive role going forward.
Yeah.
Like, very quickly, I also want to say, like, when he gets the...
Infinity Stone?
Agamotto. when he gets out for the first time, and he's fucking around with the apple, and he makes it go... He literally kills the apple, mm-hmm. makes it go all decayed, and then brings it back again. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was such a sign of things to come. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I took that as he can bring people back from the dead. He basically brings Wong back from the dead, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Reverses it all,
so
he brought everyone back from the dead then, didn't he?
So
as long as he's got the Time Stone, anyone can die in these Avengers movies, and he can just go...
No, just whip him back in. And like, we need Doctor Strange, quick, reverse time.
And I've always felt this in the comics, that he is a complete get-out-jail-free card.
Yeah.
You know, he's always... it doesn't matter what situation these guys get themselves into, he's always a card that Marvel have up their sleeve. And I think... Although that can sometimes be a negative, you know, I have complete trust in Kevin Feige and his team that they'll use this to their advantage. And...
Yeah, but not as a cop-out, not as like...
I hope...
We can't wrap
I still think they're going to have someone sacrifice themselves, and that's going to be why they can't bring him back, because if they bring that person back, then they bring Thanos back as well.
I think... I don't know if this is necessarily a prediction for Infinity War, but this is what I would like to see. I would like one of the big characters to get knocked off straight away. You know, I'm talking an Iron Man,
in the first
half hour.
Okay.
And then, when he's still got the Time Stone at that point, he then brings that person back. But then, Thanos gets the Time Stone, and then someone dies. And then it would feel so real.
Yeah.
Because you know he can't bring him back.
Yeah.
You know?
Just bring that levity to it.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something they could really play with. And I hope they do. Right, let's move on to Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One.
Mm.
I've got real mixed feelings about this one.
Do you think everybody did, knowing that obviously it's a chap in the comics?
Just a chap, it's the fact that it's meant to be Tibetan.
Asian dude.
An old...
He looks like the guy from Mulan, you know, the emperor at the end.
Yeah, they've cast a white woman as... what was meant to be an old Asian bloke.
I bet a lot of Asians got pissed off with that. I bet they were thinking, that many roles in, like, the MCU that is going to be for an old Asian man.
Yeah. So, like, straight away, you can't help. The word whitewashing comes to mind. Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah. And I hate to bring it up, but feel that way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Stephen Strange in the comics?
Yeah, he's a New Yorker.
I know there's a lot of controversy around it, because obviously it's meant to be set in Tibet, and then you got China, which they want to release in, I think why they did it.
Mm.
But
that makes sense. I don't know.
You still whitewashed the character.
Yeah.
You did. But the other side to that is I think she does such a good job.
Yeah.
But it's hard to complain.
That's probably why they probably had other people that were selected for. I wonder if it is. You guys chat.
Yeah,
I bet there are a couple of other people that were put forward, and then she just impressed them so much at the audition that they were like, fuck it, it's got to be a girl.
Yeah, maybe.
She brings a calmness to the role, doesn't she? Yeah. Like, that's, you know, she's got wisdom there.
Yeah, you respect her, and yeah, definitely.
And for someone who, I mean this in the nicest way possible, has quite a bland look to her, she tends to have so many sides to her. Like, I think that's what makes her creepy, is that she's so poker-faced, yet she's wise, she's obviously been through a lot of shit, and as we then find out at the end, she's been using, like, dark magic or whatever to prolong her life, so she's obviously got this evil side to her as well, this selfish side, and, you know, it's just so many layers to this character that's just sort of, I don't want to say dead in the face, but, like, you know, she doesn't exactly... warm to you, or none of these characters do, other than maybe Wong. You know, all these characters feel like they're in a different world, you know, and they're in, I don't know how to explain it, but like, you would never meet these people in real life, I think that is Doctor Strange all over, not the character, but just the comic book and the, you know, Doctor Strange series in general. That's really what they're going for.
Oh, yeah, it was just made because a bunch of the writers was on LSD that's pretty much why Doctor Strange was created.
Same with Thor.
So they're sort of saying on this article that they were very much criticised for whitewashing in the beginning. The way they justified it was that they wanted the film version to be Celtic, so not necessarily white, but just Celtic. Like, they're saying that the Ancient One isn't a race in the comics, it's just like meant to be a moniker that's passed down through time.
Yeah, because we were saying the Ancient One's like an old Asian dude, but I think the Ancient One has actually been
different people.
Much everything. I don't think it's an actual person.
No, that's
it?
What they're saying. Just like a title. So obviously, yeah. So in the comics, the Ancient One was 500 years old when they met Stephen Strange. So like, you think 100 years before that, it would have been somebody else, maybe. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it could be anything.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But in general, well, go on, Matt.
I was going to say, what really sold me on Tilda Swinton was during her death scene, and she goes, Doctor Strange, it's not about you.
Yeah.
She completely, like, that moment, like, completely then finalizes him as the Doctor Strange we all know from the comics, or that we all, you know and love. If that speech doesn't happen, he doesn't become Doctor Strange.
No.
Well, he's always Doctor Strange, I guess, but he doesn't become the Doctor Strange we know. It's... She plays such a pivotal role, which she's obviously was always going to do. But it really works, and it... You know, this movie can't happen without that character. You know, it's such an important role. It's not like a throwaway role or anything like that, and it's not just... She's not just the trainer, you know what I mean? She's not just the Morpheus of this piece, you know? She's...
actions have pretty much caused pretty much everything in this movie, apart from Doctor Strange's car crash. But obviously, with the villain, that's her fault. In becoming the Sorcerer Supreme, that's on her. And what's going to probably come in as a subsequent movie is going to be on her with Mordo.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I agree with you what you're saying. Her death scene is done so well. It's actually one of the highlights of the movie for me.
Yeah.
Not just the speech she gives, but visually, like when her entity leaves her body and Strange follows her, and then when she's given that speech and you've got the helicopter with the lightning bolts and slow motion in the background, that's so visually striking.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
And then obviously then seeing her like come back to Earth a bit when she's just dead on the operating table.
It's so real. I find a lot to love about this movie. You know, rewatching it again and talking about it now, there was the only negative I really had about this movie when I watched it was I found bits of it boring, but now those bits I kind of appreciate more. Speaking of boring, can we just call him Mordo?
No, we looked it up, didn't we? So it's like Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Chiwetel.
I'm going to hand the host and duties over to you guys for just this one bit.
Let's just say Mordo. That one is Mordo.
Mordo's character. I actually found him really boring the first time I saw this, but I've actually really come round to like him in this more. Well, not like him, but like understand why he's there. He's obviously there setting up for the sequel, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
He's going to be the main villain in that. And because originally, like, I just saw him as the guy who explains the villain.
He was exposition man, wasn't he?
He was Mr. Exposition, yeah. He was like, oh, this is what our order's all about, and oh, you know, this is why the Ancient One is how she is, blah blah blah. Oh, have I ever told you about Caecilius? How's it said?
Caecilius,
yeah. Have I ever told you about Caecilius and why he's the way he is? Wow, story time with Mordo. Yeah, he was a bit like that, but rewatching it back, you kind of understand why he had to be there and why he is going to play such a big role in the second Doctor Strange movie. And thing is, he's got the potential to be a really interesting villain because he's trying to do what he believes is right. And how many times have we said that makes such a good villain, when the villain believes what they're doing isn't wrong and then you sympathize with them for that? That's when they become interesting. And Mordo's got every chance of becoming just that.
Oh yeah, they set him up perfectly. Like with him, he's got this rigid moral code. He does what he believes is right by the natural law. He keeps saying that over and over. And then, of course, he's betrayed by his master, essentially.
Yeah, and that's what really messes him up. But I do like that he's not like completely gone evil, because he still helps Strange at the end, doesn't he? You know, when when everything's going to shit and he asks for his help, he still comes and helps him right at the end, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't just become a generic evil villain. He still wants to do what he believes is right.
Exactly. It's not like, I'm done with you. Goodbye. I'll see you in the sequel. You know, he still, you know, stays to, you know, stays true to who he is. As cheesy as that sounds. But
it's such a power, isn't it? I know, sorry, we're watching it in the background, but the time reversal thing, what is it called?
Agamotto.
It's just amazing, like, what you could do with that. I feel like with a lot of comic book films, they only touch on certain things because it is such a minefield. Like, all of Thor's powers, you kind of think, like, there's so much more he could do, but you kind of have to compress it for films like this, because otherwise you'll just be boggled. This is kind of like that. There's probably more... way more to Doctor Strange and what he can do and his abilities, especially with that time reversal thing.
Oh, absolutely. They mention it at the end. It's like, you put that away until you actually learn how to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it needs so much to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting is, you know, everyone talks about, the main core Avengers, you know, your Captain America's and your Iron Man's, you know, your Thor, yeah. But, no, but my point was being, people talk about them, they're the main characters, but... reality is they're not the strongest. Thor and Hulk you can make an argument for being some of the strongest, but the characters they've introduced recently, so Strange, Scarlet Witch, Vision, these are the real strong characters.
It's funny, isn't it? Yeah, because you're kind of like, it's as if they're trying to make you forget about the older guys.
They're building for the future. They've done such a good job in that. And this is, like, again... if you ask me, what do I want next? Iron Man 4 or Doctor Strange 2? I want Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
Because I feel...
I feel like we've exceeded all we can with those guys. Like, they are that bit older now.
Yeah.
We've seen their origin, their current, and their sort of...
we've seen them go through everything. Yeah, you know, we talked in Civil War how Captain America and Iron Man, both characters come full circle in that movie. Mm-hmm. You know? And...
I think you would feel like...
I still don't want to see him go.
Yeah, but I think that's what put us off with these movies. Or put me off, personally. Like, I know how big of a deal Doctor Strange is. Mm-hmm. And I know how important he is. But I was almost going into it a bit apprehensive. Because I know what they're trying to do. I know they're trying to tell you, no, these are your new Avengers. And your old ones are going to be gone soon. Mm. And you are a bit like a child holding onto his toy, like, no.
You would also be really pissed off if they tried to squeeze out even more Iron Man and Captain America films. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I make the some people who've listened quite a lot probably know that me and Matt are wrestling fans. And anyone who watches the WWE will get this comparison of... it is like Vince McMahon holding on to all his old stars. you don't want, you know, The Undertaker coming back for like his God knows what, like his 25th WrestleMania or something. Yeah.
He's been resurrected. Enough.
Pun intended. you know, like The Undertaker used to be my favorite wrestler of all time.
Still is
at heart, but the last three.
Quit while he was ahead.
Yeah, I wish when Brock Lesnar broke his streak, that was it, and he buggered off then. Yeah. The fact that they keep bringing him back out of shape and embarrassing himself, you don't want that with the MCU. You don't want to be sat in a cinema watching Iron Man 7 and thinking, God, remember when these Iron Man films were good?
Yeah.
Just because they're still bringing in money.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would rather, even at the time when you were a bit unsure, like, oh, do I really want a Doctor Strange movie or whatever? Now, when we're watching it the way we are in order, you're like, they've given everything they can with these original characters, and I'm so glad they're bringing in this fresh blood.
Yeah, delighting it to another movie franchise. It's like Fast and the Furious. You know, we're done with those characters now.
Drag.
Yeah, it's just know when it's dead. Mm. Like, people will always go to see these movies if they've got the title. It doesn't mean you should keep making them.
Yeah.
Just because people, you know, will buy a ticket to it doesn't mean it's worth seeing.
Because they don't develop their stories much. They just go with the same characters, blah, 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 blah. Whereas this, like, you can just feel this massive universe opening up and, like,
there's
so much potential, whereas you can't with franchises
like that. I think the only thing they really need to change is actually start killing off some characters now, which I think they will.
Yeah, they're waiting until Thanos comes to kill off characters just to build him up to be this big fatty baddie they want.
Yeah.
They've even said they want him to be the next Vader.
Well, every chance of that working if they do it right, which I'm sure they will because they've done everything else right.
Yeah.
Okay, before we move on to Marvel Villain Watch, is there any other characters, like supporting cast, we want to touch on?
Rachel Wong.
McAdams a lot as... Oh yeah, Wong's amazing. But yeah, Rachel
Who's
McAdams
actually called Benedict
Christine.
Wong.
Benedict Wong, yeah.
I wonder if that was... Is there a Wong in the comic?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Wong's a character in the comic.
I wonder if they were like, this guy's quite apt for the role, let's go him.
You can imagine him coming in to audition. And
his name's Wong.
He's, yeah, so it's like, okay, name? Benedict Wong.
They're like, sold.
He's like, they're just like, oh, he's really passionate. Let's yeah. let him audition. He auditions really well. And they're like, yeah. Okay, no, seriously, what's your name? Benedict Wong. Yeah, you can come out of character now. Yeah. No, it is.
Like a proper method actor. Maybe like his mum like named him that to hope that one day he would play Wong in like a film.
Proud mother. Proud
I could just see like the casting audition. It's like, oh, so are you Wong? Okay, so what do you want to do? Wong.
Yeah.
Plant as Al as he is in that library.
Yeah, I think
he's
just
got some really good little moments.
He's great comic relief, yeah, isn't he? Yeah. In a movie that is mostly serious. So it's got a lot of comedy in it. I mean, it feels like Doctor Strange's cape is a character in itself.
Yeah, that's really good, yeah.
It's like an Aladdin carpet, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We're all thinking it, yeah. Yeah. The only other character I think that's really worth bringing up is, like Jade just said, Rachel McAdams as a...
Will she come back again? Or
Christine
do you think
Palmer.
Done?
I think she'll be back.
Yeah,
I think... I actually really liked what she brought to the movie because, like, she is Doctor Strange's love interest and all
humanizes
these
him.
Yeah, and all these characters have their love interest, but she wasn't a plot point. Not really.
No,
she was just there for him to bounce off, and I really like that.
Yeah, she was like his moral compass. Essentially, it's like, what am I going to do right? Well, what would Christine do? Essentially.
Yeah, and what I liked is I never really noticed till I watched it back. You never really get like a final scene with her, well, obviously you do, but you don't get, like, a payoff at the end, oh, and this is what happened to Christine or anything. It's just... because she didn't really have a story, but she didn't need one. She is just there to build on Strange's character, which I think is perfect. You don't always need to make the love interest a massive plot point, Thor, you know?
Yeah, they tried and failed.
Yeah, and I think her character actually benefits from that, and you could bring her in as a big plot point in one of the later Doctor Strange movies, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, like, just for when we've got to introduce Strange and, like, you know, the Ancient One, such a big character, and, you know, you're setting up.
Do you
like
think
we
there
say,
could be another Ancient One? Does that happen in the comics when dies?
No. Technically, he becomes Sorcerer Supreme, so eventually he would become the Ancient One.
The Ancient One, yeah.
Yeah.
So... he's just not old enough to be the Ancient One yet.
Yeah. he's just the one.
The young one.
Yeah. Not the Matrix one. But, so, okay, then, let's move on to Marvel Villain Watch. And, yeah.
I thought he looked good.
Right.
Mads Mikkelsen, isn't it?
Yeah, Mikkelsen.
I thought it was just another case of they did a bit of eye makeup.
Yeah, but I still liked it.
It's really
I think it's another case of, like, excellent actor, rubbish role.
Yep, yeah, we've had a few of those, haven't we? Yeah. And this is definitely one. It's such a shame, because I love Mads Mikkelsen. Mads Mikkelsen, he's a fantastic actor. I mean, if you haven't seen Hannibal, go watch Hannibal. Absolutely fantastic. Well, the first two seasons, anyway.
Yeah, we haven't got back into that, have we?
You can't. Season 3 got dropped, I think.
Did it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
they
pulled
it. I
don't
think we've seen 2, then. We haven't seen all of 2.
I'm pretty sure we've seen... I don't know. No. Anyway, then we, like...
the first series
they were, like, diehard Hannibal fans listening to this going, you idiots!
The first season was brilliant, then. We couldn't turn it off, could we? We had to get right to the end.
But that's mostly because of Mad Mikkelsen's character.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
so good. And I was so excited when he was cast in for the villain as this. I never heard of... Caecilius. I never heard of Caecilius before. I have no idea who that is in the comics or anything. But I didn't care. I was excited to see Mads. But unfortunately, it just didn't work out. No. And I think a lot of that for me... I think even when he's on screen, he does carry a bit of weight and is quite interesting. I just think he wasn't fleshed out quick enough. Because in the first hour of the movie... it is Strange's story, and all you get from Caecilius is he does that opening scene where he steals the pages from the book, and then he gets talked about by Mordo.
Yeah.
That's it for the first hour of the movie.
Yeah.
That's not enough
and
to make you
care. And then they kind of throw you in, and there's like
and
big
then,
fight scenes.
And then, he just comes and tries to attack the Sanctums, which is cool, and that those scenes will look cool, but they don't really matter because you've not built this character up enough. We're more interested in seeing how Strange handles the threat rather than the threat itself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, because he's even there, he's like, I'm bringing a bigger threat.
Yeah.
So we know a bigger threat's coming, so why do we need to worry about him?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and maybe they didn't need to mention Dormammu because you, like, now we know in Avengers that Loki's working for a bigger threat the whole time, but we don't know that until after the credits have rolled.
No.
You know, I'm not saying you should have kept Dormammu for an after credit scene or anything, but maybe not. I don't know how you tell the story they want to tell without mentioning Dormammu right at the beginning, but I don't know. It definitely takes away from what is essentially meant to be our main villain.
Yeah. I can see they wanted to tell like a personal story between him and the Ancient One about him being betrayed. But yeah, they just didn't manage it.
No, it didn't work. He looks cool though.
He looks that. Intimidating, yeah.
Yeah.
And that scene when the cape makes Strange throw the little body cast, the metal cage on him. That looks cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And the really conversation creepy. They had afterwards, I enjoyed that. I thought that was good by him.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he was talking to gibberish, wasn't he?
Yeah. But I think overall, he definitely falls into the typical failed MCU villain. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we haven't had one for a little while, but he definitely falls into that for me.
Will Pangborn be in later films, because they went back to him, didn't they, in the after credit scenes?
Oh, the guy who was broke his back.
Broke his back and got
hit. Oh, I don't think so. I think that was just...
They basically, like, kill him off in the end, like, in one of the end credit scenes.
Maybe not.
Not really kill him off, but just paralyse him again.
Yeah, Mordo at the end comes and, like, takes away his abilities, doesn't he?
Okay.
So Mordo basically re-cripples him again and obviously shows that he's going to be the main villain, which we kind of already knew anyway.
But they might show him, just have like Doctor Strange talking to him. It's like, what happened?
Yeah, probably. It'd probably been like one of the opening scenes of the second Strange movie, which makes sense. Right, before we move on to Infinity Stone Watch, I just really want to like touch on the visual effects just a little longer because I don't feel we talked about them enough, and they are so good in this movie.
They look so real, even though you know it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. They look real, like they look like the world's like folding in on itself.
Yeah. Now, obviously, a lot of people were like, "Oh, it ripped off Inception." Did a little bit.
Yeah.
It did a little bit. Not gonna lie.
But who cares? They're both really good.
Yeah. And like this, I think this like does the Inception thing, but expands on it.
Yeah, and I think with the whole portals and everything, it adds a different element.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you've got all the different dimensions and stuff like that, and all the psychedelic stuff that's going on. Yeah, I think the graphics department had the time of their life. I generally think like Kevin Feige went to them and goes, look, we're making this psychedelic mindfuck.
Like,
do what you want and then we'll like build something around that. Just go crazy.
It feels like it should have taken about 10 years to make, like, you know how
like Avatar
took
or something
so long,
and
this looks like so crisp and clean, you're just like, how?
Yeah, did you notice you're never taken out of the action? They're going through all these different angles and everything, and you think you get lost, but you never really do.
Mm. No, you're always, as mental as it is, it'll ground you again in back into the story.
Yeah.
You know, it'll like drag you back and be like, yeah, this is the story you're with. Very quickly, did any of you guys see this in 3D?
No.
No.
Okay, cool. I feel like one of us should have.
Yeah, because it looks like this needs to be in 3D, but I've never got on with 3D.
No, I hate it. It gives me a headache.
I'm kind of... If it's the right movie, I'll watch it in 3D. But I've never wanted to watch the MCU movies in 3D. I watched Avengers in 3D and didn't enjoy it at all because it's obviously... what's the word I'm looking for? Post-edited.
Yeah.
You know, I want it shot in 3D to begin with. I'm not interested. One of the visual effects I very quickly want to talk on before we move on to Infinity Stone Watch is... when he goes back to Rachel McAdams' character, all injured and beat up, and his like astro body is instructing her what to do.
That is so good.
And then he has that astro fight with that other guy, and it's like, it's so good. Yeah. And just like shit's going on around her as she's trying to fix
him. And she just plays that bit brilliant as well. Exactly like everybody would be if they were in that situation.
Yeah, I love that.
But what I love is like afterwards, any time a pen fires that shit, it's like someone having a fight in the room.
Yeah, you would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
What's going on? You're on edge all the time. No, I absolutely love that. Like I say, I can't put into words enough how much I enjoyed this third time round. Like, I appreciate it much more now. It makes me much more excited for Strange's character in Infinity War.
Yeah. And actually haven't announced Doctor Strange 2 yet.
Oh, it's coming.
You know it's coming, but...
It's so much I thought the date's coming up.
No, they've announced dates that there's going to be MCU movies, but they've not announced what's what. Oh. But you can sort of work... Like, if you sit there and really work it out, like, what the gap is usually between their movies, you can kind of guess that Strange is probably due, what, 2020? Maybe 2021?
Probably late 2020.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's an article from 2 hours ago, and Benedict Cumberbatch done a really recent interview saying there's no plans for Doctor Strange 2 yet.
Bullshit. Liar!
You know something.
They'll be writing it, they've just not decided when they're going to film yet.
Yeah.
They've had a lot on their hands, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, they've still got, like, they've got Ant-Man 2, they've got Captain Marvel, Guardians 3, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, and we've got, like, Strange to be in two more movies before we get his sequel.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Infinity War and Avengers 4 that he's going to be a major part of, so...
And we don't know how he's going to play into the other movies as well. He might even be in Spider-Man.
Yeah, maybe. We don't know how it's gonna, what they've got in mind, but yeah, we haven't seen the last of Benedict Cumberbatch. He's gonna be in it a lot more. Okay, let's move on to Infinity Stone Watch because we actually have one to talk
about.
Yeah,
we didn't before. Did we?
We've kind of already talked about the Eye of Agamotto quite a lot, which is obviously the Time Stone. The whole point of Infinity Stone Watch, is to keep an eye on where they end up. But this one doesn't really move anywhere, does it? It stays. It basically Strange,
the camotage, isn't it?
Yeah, Strange finds it there, and then basically steals it, and it stays with him, basically, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like that they mentioned like he shouldn't be able to control that yet, even with his like photographic memory. It's amazing that he's able to use his power.
Yeah, which I thought was a bit odd because then that's like hinting that he's already got like some sort of power anyway, which. Is he meant to have?
I think it's just more like a destiny type thing. It's like you're destined to end up with this.
Yeah, you're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah.
That kind of moment. Yeah. We can't really... Like, I really want to be able to talk about Infinity Stones more, but we can't really talk about this one too much because nothing really happens with it.
Mm.
Yeah, obviously a lot happens with it. You see how powerful it is. Like,
but it doesn't get stolen or go anywhere.
Yeah, the whole end action scene is based off it. I think... Like we already touched on earlier, it's more of a case of what can be done with this stone. And we know from the Infinity War trailer, like Tony says, oh, Thanos is coming to us for what we have, so we're ready for him. So obviously they could use Strange as bait, and they could use Vision as bait. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how they go about it and where this stone ends up. But... end of this movie, it's with Doctor Strange, and it still will be going into Infinity War. So there's your Time Stone, people. One another stone down.
Yeah.
How many more have we got to touch on?
Only after this, like... it's the Soul... not the Soul... Yeah, Soul Stone.
And have we... Oh, we have not seen that at all yet.
So not this, seen the Soul Stone yet, but...
So we know the Space Stone. We got to talk about the Space Stone again when we get to Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But, in the trailers for... Infinity, and mm-hmm. Thanos has got the glove on. Does he's that got, have every stone in
he's
it?
Got two. But if he had every stone in, that'd be
I don't know if I'm trusting that. They've got a history of lying.
Yeah, I don't trust Marvel when it comes to their trailers.
I don't know what made me think
bullshitting.
That. So, remember Tony had a flash...
I do think it would... You think of Age of Ultron.
There was a scene, I'm sure, where he's got the glove with all of them on. Like, and it was like a prediction.
Thor has a vision.
Yeah, a vision
of the gauntlet with...
With all of them on.
With all of them,
yeah. Okay, because that would be the time we see the orange one then, but not actually.
No, we've not actually seen the Soul Stone yet. We don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. In the Infinity War trailer, you see him with the Space Stone, but I do think he'll have the Space Stone for most of the movie.
Because you think, where else has it been?
Well, no, it looks like Loki has it.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't got to Thor Ragnarok yet, but spoilers for Ragnarok, but it looks like Loki gets away with the Tesseract.
Oh, okay.
At the end of Ragnarok, and then it looks like at the first Infinity War trailer that he's handing the Tesseract to Thanos, and in the second Infinity War trailer, you actually see Thanos crush the Tesseract and take the stone. So it's no secret that Loki gives up the Space Stone to Thanos pretty early in the movie, and it also looks like he's got the Power Stone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I think everyone's saying the opening of Infinity War is going to be Thanos confronting Thor. I think it'll be him going to Xander, yeah, and fucking shit up and getting the Power Stone with ease.
Yeah, I can see him literally just destroying that planet and blowing it all up.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I'll just be like, yeah, this is who we're dealing with. Bang, go into opening credits, and then you'll go to the Thor scene of him messing around with Hulk. You'll probably have then Thanos confront them. Fuck all of them up, probably kill off the Asgardians as well, so we'll probably kill off all Xander, all the Asgardians.
Just mass genocide.
Yeah, and I'm guessing by the looks of the trailers that Hulk gets away, or they send Hulk away, and then I don't know what happened with Thor. It looks like Thor gets away with the Guardians, and then Loki's stuck with Thanos. Well,
do you want to know what I've heard? It's potential spoilers, but...
Mike's a bit funny with
this. Maybe we talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
Because I don't want anyone else to get spoiled. But, yeah. I've got my own predictions. We'll do a whole podcast on Infinity War.
Yeah, yeah.
Speculation and stuff like that. I think we're going off on a bit of a tangent at the moment.
Yeah.
Right then, is there any other things that we liked or didn't like that we want to touch on before we go to our final scores?
I liked the humour in this. I thought that was all really funny.
Yeah,
I don't think that's really been mentioned at all. Like, I felt Wong... The one thing I didn't like repeat watching was at the end, you know, where you get Wong laughing. Is that, oh, that's funny. That felt a bit flat to me watching it again.
Yeah, me too, because it wasn't actually that funny what he said.
It felt a bit forced.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mind.
I think
it
could have
much,
been a
but...
different time. Like, it would have been nice to see Wong laugh, but not at that moment and that joke. I felt the same, Matt. Yeah.
But again, like the whole Beyonce stuff and all that, I found hilarious.
Brilliant. And then he's like, listen to it on his headphones a bit later.
Yeah. Can't understand the whole one name thing.
Yeah.
I really liked the locations. Mm. It's really cool going from Nepal. You know, it's always cool to see New York. It just makes it feel like an MCU movie. Mm-hmm.
Seeing them run around London.
Yeah, yeah, we get to see him in, oh, obviously Hong Kong at the end, and, like, the colours and stuff, and that's brilliant, and, of course, his little bit of time spent on Mount Everest was hilarious.
Yeah.
He comes back all snotty and frozen.
Yeah. there's a few bits I didn't like. I think I've touched on most of them already. Like I said, I don't like that it only takes 45 minutes of the movie for him to become Doctor Strange, but then I love that the movie really picks up after that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I contradict myself there completely. But I think I've touched on the things I don't like already.
I like the Rhodey mention, if it's a Rhodey mention, but I think it is.
I didn't notice this.
I missed that.
When he's obviously driving, just before he's crashing, it's being described, everything. There's I think it's like a 35-year-old army colonel who's got injured in an experimental armor.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's Mike, so obvious. Oh my god, that is so obvious. I've never noticed
that. So the scan that comes through that causes
the
crash.
Yeah, it's probably what... Oh, that's genius.
What was he injured in then?
And that's the one where he's like, nah, probably people can fix that. I'm moving
bloody
on.
Bloody goldfish. Yeah, Civil War. Remember, he falls from the sky, breaks his back.
I thought I got fixed, though. I thought
he's
we saw
all,
him
he's
recovering
He's all crippled
after.
And then...
Yeah, but we saw him recovering
And then
after.
Stan Lee calls Tony Stank, and he's like,
but
he's all on crutches and fucked, didn't he?
And Dr. Strange even mentions there's like 12 other people who could fix him. He ain't buffering.
You just said it was Falcon.
I said War Machine.
Did you say War Machine?
Yeah.
Did Matt say War Machine?
We both said War Machine.
Okay, I'm thinking Falcon. That's why I was like, what? When did he get injured?
So what did you say then, Matt? We were talking amongst ourselves.
I was there, like, even mentions that there's, like, 12 other people who can mend Rhodey, so he's not bothering.
So basically, he's got the same problem that we had with the end of Civil War, that his injury wasn't as serious as it should have been.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, then, let's get to our final scores, then. Unless got anything else to say?
No, that's about it.
Right, Matt, give us your list and where this one falls on your list.
I will start at the bottom. I've got Hulk 13th at a 6.5, Thor 2 with a 6.7, Iron Man 2 with a 7, Captain America 7.9, Thor an 8, Ant-Man an 8.2, Iron Man 3 with an 8.5, Avengers 2 with an 8.7, Iron Man with a 9. Guardians of the Galaxy with a 9.5. Avengers, 9.8. Captain America 2 with a 9.9. And Civil War with a 10. I'm going to drop this one a little bit from an 8.
Oh, really?
I am, yeah. I think because it's retelling the story that we've seen a lot with like Iron Man and Thor with like this arrogant hero who learns respect. The only difference is the visual effects are amazing, but I think we're going to get accustomed to that rewatching it. And yeah, I'll probably give it a 7.7 now.
Okay. So that, well, that's quite low on your list then, really. That's drops it.
Drops it down to 11th.
Oh, bloody hell. But then when you look at, like, you know, that's still a fair bit ahead of your now 12th place Iron Man 2,
yeah,
which is obviously a 7. So, you know, he's almost an entire point ahead of that, nearly. But, yeah. Well, fair enough. That's lower than I thought it'd be, to be fair. But you make a very good point. I know what you mean. It is retreading old ground, I guess. Yeah.
And while I think, like, I love the Doctor Strange character, I think he's going to play a massive role coming forward, I just feel, again, this is a story I want to rewatch over and over again.
Yeah, it's not got the... Is there a word for that? Like, rewatchability factor? There's a word.
Repeat?
Repeat factor. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's got that.
All right, then. Right, Jade, I'll read your list, because you're getting really fed up of lists now. And the list thing was my idea, so if I'm going to keep Jade to a list, I best start reading her lists. Right, bottom of her list is poor old Incredible Hulk in 13th place with a 5.
Not so Incredible Hulk.
12th place is Thor the Dark World with a 6 out of 10. And 11th place, Iron Man 2 with a 6.5. In 10th place, Avengers Age of Ultron with a 6.6. In 9th place, the first Captain America with a 6.7. In 8th place, Iron Man 3 with a 6.8. In 7th place, Ant-Man with a 6.9. In 6th place, Iron Man with a 7. In 5th place, the first Thor movie with a 7 out of 10. 4th place is Captain America Winter Soldier with a 7.8. Going into her top 3 is Captain America Civil War with a 7.9. Disgraceful. In 2nd place, the first Avengers with an 8 out of 10. And top of Jade's list with a banging 10 out of 10 is Guardians of the Galaxy. So Jade, in your list, where does Doctor Strange fall?
So I'm just having a look over that again. I've got 10 films within 6.5 to 8. So
yeah,
where do I put things now?
I'm going to have the same problem. I've got a lot of congestion within my 8 point something.
Obviously, I put this one at 7, didn't I? And it's less than that for me. But there's nowhere to, I know, and there's nowhere to put it. It's definitely not better than Thor for me.
So it's not
and
better.
I wouldn't want to put it above above Avengers or the first Captain America, but I have no room left. So...
Wait, would you put it above Age of Ultron?
No.
Okay. Would you put it above Iron Man 2? Ricky, you become one of us.
Oh, God, but then I don't think... For me to put it in, like, a third from the bottom makes me think, makes me sound like I hated it, but I didn't. Okay, I'm going to go
6.4. Oh!
And that's, like,
so it's dropped a fair bit from your 7th out of 10.
Yeah, well, not really, 6.4. but I've just got so many
6.4.
I wish I could move, like, my Avengers up to a 9.
From bottom.
I know. I wish I could move, like, my Avengers up to a 9, Civil War up to, like,
I tell you
8.5.
What, once we've done finished Infinity War, it'd be interesting to go through our final list that includes Infinity War, and then maybe...
Just get rid of the scores and just put them in order of what we liked.
Yeah, or maybe not, like... change anything. We'll say, no, this is our order and we'll stick with it because it's what we went with. But maybe say, oh, if I could change something.
I've got to change loads of mine.
Well,
I'm glad I stuck Hulk at a 5 because it gave me leeway in the top, because I don't know how you guys are managing 6.5 upwards for all of these films.
I have things like 8.25s. That's how I manage.
What I think we should have done is... I don't know how we'd have done it, but like, how many is there? Is there 16 that we're watching
before?
We've
got 4 to go after this.
We've got 4 to go after this, yeah.
So that's
5, including 18. Infinity War.
Yeah, so like 18, we should have just had like, put them in order of like where we would put them in a top 20, for example.
Yeah, well, I like doing an out of 10 score though.
Yeah.
The thing is, Jade, you've already give like both Thor and Iron Man a 7 out of 10 and chose Thor to go ahead of it. So you can just give it the same score as something else and put it ahead of that.
Yeah.
You've already...
broke that rule already.
But there's like, there's probably going to be a film that I preferred less than Thor, but more than Iron Man, and there's nowhere to put it because they're both 7.
Either way, you're committed now.
Yeah.
It finishes with a 6.4.
Yeah.
And now falls into 12th place.
Yeah.
Which is the same as you, isn't it, Matt?
No, wait. Mine's 10th, I think I put it, or 11th.
11th and 12th. Close. 11th and 12th. Quite low. Right. Let's read in my list from bottom to top. 13th place, Iron Man 2 at 7.5. 12th place, Thor the Dark World with a 7.8. In 11th is Incredible Hulk with an 8 out of 10. In 10th place is Iron Man 3 with an 8.2. 9th place, Ant-Man with an 8.25. 8th place, Captain America the First Avenger with an 8.3. In 7th place is The First Thor with a 9 out of 10. In 6th place, Avengers Age of Ultron with a 9.1. In 5th place, The First Iron Man with a 9.3. In 4th place, Guardians of the Galaxy with a 9.5. Going into my top 3, it's Captain America Winter Soldier with a 9.75. The First Avengers in 2nd place with a 9.8. And Captain America Civil War with a big old 10 out of 10. For me, I'm going opposite of you guys completely. I massively enjoyed this, rewatching it. I don't know why, maybe I'm watching it in a good mood. Actually, that's a lie. Because I might have watched it. Because, yeah, a little peek behind the scenes. We just spent an hour or 45 minutes pissing around with our audio trying to get it right.
Because so, we keep listening back and we feel sorry for you guys because we just sound awful. Like, we're never consistent. So we just wanted to tweak it one last time. And it just happens to be a Monday night where we're really tired and we really wanted to get an early recording done. And it didn't happen.
So if you're listening to this and it still sounds like shit,
yeah,
then just know we wasted 2 hours of fiddling with audio to try to get this right.
Know that we tried.
Yeah. So even sort of going into this in a bit of a pissy, I really enjoyed talking about it. And I think in the same way that, Iron Man gets a lot of goodwill with us and is a 9.3 for me because of what it sets up for the future, I think we're going to look back at this movie as being very important. Maybe not as brave as something like an Iron Man because it was the first big step. And like you said, Matt, they are treading water a little bit and doing what they've done a million times before. But I do think we'll look back at this as, once all this MCU's, you know, finally finished, if it ever finishes, we'll look at Doctor Strange as such a big influence. We'll be like, wow, this is where it all started. Mm. So, and like I said, I did really enjoy it. The visual effects are spectacular. And I think the way the characters, especially Doctor Strange, finish at the end of the movie makes it so important. So, looking at my list, I'm going to actually go up from an 8 out of 10. I said 8 out of 10 first time I saw it, didn't I?
Yeah.
See, that would put it on level with Incredible Hulk, and it ain't.
Well, it's better than that.
No, it's better than that, yeah. I should say. Yeah, sorry, that makes it sound like, oh, it ain't as good as Incredible Hulk. It's better than Incredible Hulk. And it's better than Iron Man 3, and it's better than Ant-Man. You know what? Fuck it. It's better than the first Captain America for me. Only just, though, I'm giving it an 8.4, which puts it into 8th place for me.
Quite high.
Yeah. Because it kind of reminds me, I've got then, above that in 7th place, I've got Thor with a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, they're similar, aren't they?
They are a bit, but I still think Thor was a bit of a braver one to do. I don't know, I enjoy Thor a little bit more. 8.4 for me. A bit higher than you guys. I really, really enjoyed this in the time around. So, right. That's us done with Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
We'll finish for another week. We came round to you quite quick this week, I think. Kind of back-to-back episodes. Just because we were so late with Civil War. But we will be back next week with... Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Jade is so excited. I wonder if this will go second in Jade's list. I wouldn't be surprised if it does, but looking forward to finding out. Right, Matt, take us away from social medias.
All right, we've got Twitter at NerdingOut2. We've got Instagram at NerdingOut2. We also have Facebook, NerdingOut2, the podcast. So you're going to get updated with our scores for Phase 1 and Phase 2 later, probably today, maybe tomorrow. Well, depending on when you're listening, it might already be out. But yeah, yeah, you get updates from there when our podcasts are released, and we'll probably post a few memes as well.
Nothing really to do with the MCU, but you'll remember, keen listeners will remember, we had a few guests on for Avengers. We had my good friend Javi on for Avengers. He works at respawnin.co.uk, which, you know, they mostly talk video games. So they'll also talk movies and TV, and, you know, we'll talk the MCU, but, you know, they're mostly video game related. If you are interested in video games, check them out, because me and Javi will be doing a live streaming
Gamecast something?
I'm not really up to date on this thing, but I'm going to be playing games live in front of people. Check our social medias, check Respawn in social medias, and, you know, catch me doing that on Saturday night, about, I don't know, 6, 7 o'clock, something like that. All the details will be online. Have a look.
Nice little shameless plug there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's at the end. This is the look. Nobody's listening at this point. Everyone turns off after the final score.
There's some people wait for the little jokes at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So sorry, but you know, yeah, shameless plug.
Just go for it.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So that's it. Done for another week. Right.
Should we quickly discuss like our next couple of weeks before Infinity? Because it's pretty soon,
you
isn't
feel
it?
Like we should, well, we yeah, should lay,
people,
lay the ground. Well, we haven't got much left. We've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then it's Homecoming.
And then Ragnarok. And then Black Panther.
And then Ragnarok. And then Infinity. And then after Ragnarok, I've run out of Blu-rays. So I'm going to have to go to the cinema for Black Panther. And we've
still out, yeah.
And we've caught up.
I think Black Panther will still be out, because it's still number one.
I reckon.
So.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to get rid of that, are they?
I think it'll be... Hopefully,
but I said to Mike earlier, how are we going to watch it and write notes like we do in the cinema? In the,
the guys working in the cinema, what are they doing? Writing their little notes. Yeah. I'll be asking them if you can pause it a minute.
Yeah. Rewind that bit a minute.
And then, like I say, I think we'll do an Infinity preview show, because I think we'll have a week to spare.
Yeah.
And then we'll do our Infinity review pretty much straight. I mean, we're all, like, Matt, you're seeing it a little after us, aren't you? But we're seeing it midnight. Soon as we can, midnight showing.
It'd be like the first day.
Yeah. Fair enough. But as soon as we can, we'll get together, record for that, and then we'll do like a look back on all our scores, what we thought, and if there's anything we would change.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll find something else to talk about. We'll probably put that vote to our loyal fan base. Jay's looking at me like, if they pick DC, I swear to God,
we might sit that one out.
But we'll see. But anyway. Thanks for joining us for another week, and hope you will come back next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Steven.
Wong.
What do you want, Strange?
Books on astral projection.
You're not ready for that.
Try me, Beyonce. Come on. You've heard of her. She's a huge star, right?